Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's Edible Honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of Edible Honesty, the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant.
Hey, hey, my, hot rockin' tomato pie. Let's get down and let's talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew. I'm your host, and I am ready to rock, so let's cut right into it, because today we will be readjusting almost everything you thought you knew about food. Now, in last week's Edible Adventure, we saw Andrew the Giant delve into the edible history of the United States Supreme Court, and we witnessed him travel through time in a phone booth to Washington, D.C., to the year 1893, as Andrew partied on and remained excellent onto himself. There was a trial, Nix versus Hedden, and it was over a tomato. Is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable? There was historical debate, an edible injustice, and it forced the tomato to become a vegetable. What the what? The Beastie Boys at the Garden cold kicking it live? So hang on to your Edible Honesty hats, Edible Honesty fans, because the best is yet to come. And pass the beer nuts, Hillary, Norman Peterson, and let's get right into today's tasty episode. Now, I'd like to start out this episode with some culture. So here is a reading of an ancient erotic limerick. There once was a man named John Nix, who had an incredibly large fruit and vegetable import business out of New York. And that is why I bother to tell you so. And in the spring of the year 1886, John Nix had a shipment of imported tomatoes sent to the New York Harbor from the Bahamas. Meanwhile, the tax collector of the port was a gentleman named Edward Hedden. And Edward Hedden said to John Nix, "John, I have your tomatoes, and I will, of course, let you have your tomatoes. However, for me to release these tomatoes to you, I must collect a 10% tax." And under the Tariff Act of 1883, a 10% tariff is to be collected on all imported vegetables. So holy Tariff Act of 1883, Batman. And Edward Hedden continued. He said, under the Tariff Act of 1883, it is the port of New York's and our position that tomatoes act much more like vegetables than they do fruits. And the position of this port is that we now officially consider tomatoes to be vegetables. Therefore, your tomatoes are now subject to a 10% tax, which is literally like saying only left-handed people must pay federal and state income tax. And from this point forward, the great state of Florida now deems every person to be residing here left-handed. Now, for some historical perspective, just 3 years prior to 1886, in the year 1883, President Chester A. Arthur, and I like to call him President Blackjack because he was our 21st president. So holy President Blackjack Batman, and let's face it, the dude needs an image upgrade because no one knows who he is. Seriously, ask anyone. So anyway, President Blackjack signed the Tariff Act in March of the year 1883, and it required a tax to be paid on all imported vegetables, but never fruits. Imported fruits were never to be taxed, just like Leona Hemsley and Heidi Fleiss. So holy tax evasion, Batman. Ooh, ooh. And prior to the Civil War, Southern tomato growers had a financial empire selling tomatoes to the North because Northerners literally went crazy for tomatoes because they were so versatile and so delicious. But then on April 12th, 1861, the Civil War started, and trade between the North and the South, it ceased, and completely. So no more of those yummy Southern tomatoes. But the Northerners still craved those super yummy, versatile tomatoes. And they loved the tomato fruit so much that the North started to import tomatoes from Bermuda and also weed from the Bahamas. Because let's face it, it's better in the Bahamas. And after the Civil War ended, the Southern tomato farmers needed their Northern customers back and big time. And so the Southern tomato farmers, they got together and they lobbied Congress and they insisted that Congress tax foreign vegetable imports, but never, ever fruits, especially Southern tomatoes. And so, after a few fat envelopes of Southern cash, Congress passed the Tariff Act of 1883, and President Blackjack signed it, and no tax or tariff was ever to be applied to imported fruit. And so, can you see where this is going? Back in the year 1886, almost every piece of fruit eaten in America was imported. Now, to John Nix, to every American farmer, heck, to every American, especially in the year 1892, tomatoes were absolutely fruits because they form from a flower and contain seeds on the inside. And by the way, for those of us keeping score at home, that's textbook. That's the textbook definition of a fruit to a T. Vegetables are the edible leaf, edible stem, or edible root of a plant. So, scientifically speaking, there is no doubt tomatoes are a fruit. And there's no doubt tomatoes are berries because tomatoes form from a single flower with a single ovary. And they are a fleshy fruit that contains seeds on the inside. So tomatoes are definitely berries. And John Nix said to Edward Heaton, "Edward, tomatoes are fruits. Tomatoes are berries. And turning a fruit into a vegetable just to cash in on bogus tax revenue? Well, that's King George of you. And it's facsimilous to the Peter Townsend Act of 1767. And we'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet. And the morals that they worship will be gone." Now, what the Townsend Act of 1767 did was force the original 13 American colonies to suddenly pay tax on essentials, such as tea, which was completely unheard of and absolutely outrageous. And the only reason why? The tea tax was levied. And the reason why the Townshend Act of 1767 was enacted in the first place was for one simple purpose: to bail out a broke British government. No other reason. And as an edible consequence, on December 16th, 1773, 342 chests of tea belonging to the British East India Company, they were thrown from ships into the Boston Harbor by American patriots in a fiesta known worldwide as the Boston Tea Party. And now, not even 90 years later, after the Boston Tea Party, here we go again. And John Nix is forced to fight another edible, taxable revolution. But this time, it wasn't against the British government. Because this time, John Nix was fighting against a bankrupt United States government. Ooh, ooh. John Nix wasn't only right. He was 100% right. Because the 1883 Tariff Act, signed by President Blackjack, only applied to vegetables and not to fruits. And tomatoes are not only fruits, but they're berries. Just like cucumbers and pumpkins and eggplants and zucchini. And reclassifying these fruits as vegetables was really just a way to help bail out a broke United States government, which was still financially devastated after the Civil War. And John Nix declared, "Edward, everyone knows tomatoes are fruits. And as such, they are definitely exempt from the 10% tax. And they are definitely exempt from the 1883 Tariff Act." Now, that being the case that tomatoes are fruits, Edward Heaton's position was, "John, here's the way I see it. Even if a tomato is a fruit, to me it acts like a vegetable. Therefore, they're now vegetables." And Edward Heaton, the tax collector, he would not budge. He turned to John Nix and he said, "John, let me put it to you like this. If you don't pay the vegetable tax, you cannot have your tomatoes. How can you get your tomatoes if you don't pay the vegetable tax?" And the thing is, John Nix, he needed his tomatoes. So he paid the tax, but under extreme protest. And right after he did, he filed a lawsuit against Edward Heaton, the tax collector, in a lower New York court. And the lower New York court ruled in favor of Edward Heaton, the tax collector, and unanimously. And John Nix declared, "I was married by a judge. I should have asked for a jury." And John Nix appealed, and all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. Ooh, ooh. Now, before this story heads any further, let us not forget that President George Washington passed the Tariff Act of 1789. And the Tariff Act of 1789, it levied a 50 cent per ton duty on goods imported by foreign ships. And on American-owned vessels, well, they were charged 6 cents per ton duty. Now, the Tariff Act of 1789 was the very first piece of significant legislation passed by the United States government. And that was right after they ratified the United States Constitution. And the purpose of the Tariff Act of 1789 was simply to raise revenue for a bankrupt United States government. And 95% of all the income that the United States government earned was generated from the Tariff Act of 1789. So now it's almost 100 years later. And here we go again. Here comes another edible opportunity for the United States government to expand the taxable, edible playing field again and cash in big time again by generating tax revenue from an otherwise non-taxable item in tomatoes. And so finally, in the year 1893, Nix versus Hedden comes up to bat and it reaches the United States Supreme Court. And believe me, this is seriously an obscure, edible case, but it is the reason, the legal reason, why so many fruits were forced to become vegetables. But here's the craziest part. That's just the tip of this edible iceberg, because there's so much more dark, dirty, perverse details to this edible horror story. And the best is yet to come. So hold on to your edible honesty hats. Surely you can't be serious. I'm serious. And stop calling me Shirley. Ooh, ooh. So that's it. That's a wrap on part two of the day the United States Supreme Court turned fruits into vegetables. But tune in for the next episode, part three, the day the United States Supreme Court turned fruits into vegetables. Ooh, ooh. My name is Andrew. I want to thank you so much for listening. And to all my fans in Seattle, Russell Wilson is one of the best quarterbacks ever. How you could even consider letting that man go, forget it. And a huge edible shout out to Matt Damon, who definitely knows tomatoes are fruits. They are not vegetables. And I've been getting all of your emails and all of your comments and all of your recipes. And thank you. And do not stop and continue sending your recipes over to us at info@edibleHonesty.com. And don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. And no, I'm not signed by any media outlet yet. And CNN, Food Network, Cooking Channel, Martha Stewart, ABC News, Comedy Central, and whoever else, I'm available. So get in contact with me and let's work out a deal. And let's get Edible Honesty what it deserves. A syndicated platform. So get ready to tune in for the next episode for more Edible Honesty, same edible time, same edible station.